Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. I want to welcome you to another edition of the Miracle Man Show here on Monday, October the 26th of 2020. Man, can you believe it's the last week of October? I can't believe it. It's really flying by. The fall, in my mind, is really falling by. For whatever reason, it's going by quicker than the summer. I don't know why, but we're glad to have you tonight, wherever you may be, however you may be accessing the program. And my prayer is that you're ready to receive from the word of the Lord tonight. And of course, we're also going to, at the end of the show, we're going to be talking about sports in regards to that Lions game yesterday, the Michigan win. What on earth happened to Michigan State? Also a Miller High game to talk about, as well as a Patriots game, and also the Bucks versus Raiders game, as those were the games that I chose to pick. And I'll let you know how we did on the picks over the weekend. How did I do with the picks? And I will make sure to let you know on that how we did. And of course, first of all, I want to thank all of those who have made the determination to tune in, wherever they may be from. Obviously, we got people listening from other countries as well as from different places in the U.S. Even here in Michigan, you know, we got different people tuning in, and that's always a great thing. Of course, the more people we get to tune in, the better. And we fully believe that. So, real quick, before I get into some other things, I real quick wanted to mention the debate on Thursday night was a good job. I was surprised the way the moderator handled herself, and she let Trump talk. You know, he let Biden talk. Trump let Biden talk. And overall, it was pretty good debate. I think Trump won it. And bottom line is it's very important that you vote Constitution and that you vote Bible. And just because the polls might say one thing doesn't mean, maybe I don't have to go vote. It doesn't matter what state you're in. You should go vote like you're down. Even if it does show you're up. Because if you're Christians, if you're for the Constitution, for your Second Amendment, for your freedom to worship God freely, if you want to recognize your country, the United States, if you want to recognize the United States, then you got to vote for the winners for the Constitution, for freedom of religion, for freedom of speech, who wants to keep the economy open. The opponent just said he wants to lock down. Again, he just said that at the debate. Yes, he did. And I know right now we're struggling with record cases. I'm not concerned about it, about the surge of cases, because God's on our side. That's why I'm not super worried about it. And people may say, you don't measure how bad a pandemic is well, you called it a pandemic. Yeah, I did, because this thing was planned years ago. But you don't call, you don't judge a pandemic based on how many cases. You go by hospitalizations and deaths, not just cases. Because the media for months now, it's cases, 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 cases. Well, you keep finding because you keep testing. And a high proportion of these tests are worthless. Heard about an athlete, about a coach, in fact, weeks ago, tested positive. Then, three times in a row after that, he tested negative. Was confirmed that after all, that he was in fact negative. So, just take that for what it's worth. It was a good debate. And obviously, for voting, you got to vote Constitution. And also, it's important that you pay attention to your choices at the local level, because even right now, if we're learning something from the pandemic as far as voting, we need to learn to vote for at the county level those people who are pro-business. And pro-individual rights. And don't just go by because you know their name. I saw a funny sign on someone's house here in town just the other day. I was out doing errands. And you're not going to believe what it said. It said Dogs 2020 for president. Isn't that pretty hilarious? Dogs 2020. I thought it was funny.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't usually see that, so I don't know. I don't know what to make of it, but I just thought it was funny. I really did. So, moving along now. So, as you know, listeners, October is National Pastor Appreciation Month. And so yesterday at my church, we took up the offering for Dr. Buckley, the pastor of my church. And my mom took up the offerings, both of them, the offering for Sunday morning and Sunday night, both. And did a great job. In the morning, she talked about who Pastor is and how he helped us through the early months of the whole COVID-19 deal and the times that he was there for us through that whole thing. And then last night, she talked about how he's been there for her and us and how she came into the church and how, especially when I was very little, in particular, there was a lot of battles. And to add to that, she was a Christian when she was younger, but then she fell astray, got into drugs, things of that nature. Then, on Halloween night of 88, she came to Living Word Church. She got saved at the Open Door here in Midland, was told about Living Word Church. She came to our church. Of course, I wasn't born yet, but she came to the church. Then she told Dr. Buckley about some things that she was dealing with, and she's like, well, can I still come to your church? Yes, Julie, you can come to my church. You know, after she told him who she was. And then she found out she was pregnant. She said, well, Dr. Buckley, can I still come? Yeah, Julie, you can come. Then my mom has me. There were deformities. Within the first 10 days of my life, I had to have a surgery so I could suck and a surgery so I could swallow. Then a couple months later, I was diagnosed with failure to thrive as a baby because I was born at about 8 pounds. But a couple months later, I didn't weigh 5 pounds. And Dr. Buckley believed God, and he said, well, Julie, you got to learn how to fight and scrap. 3 months later, when I'm 3 months old, we were told I was blind. And then after that, when I was 18 months old, I was diagnosed as being profoundly mentally retarded. My mom's sitting there on her couch crying 3 days straight. Dr. Buckley calls her, Julie, why are you on my mind? Again. And then she tells him, and then he tells her, you know, Julie, I've told you, you got to learn how to stand in the Word of God, stand on the Word of God for yourself. And I'm not sending anybody to your house this time. You have to learn how to fight. A few months later, now I'm 2 years old. And she turns out she finds part of the colon in my diaper. And then I go to Midland Hospital, transferred to Ann Arbor. And then they say he has colon cancer. And then they explain that they can give me a shot that can put me to sleep. My mom tells the Ann Arbor doctors, excuse me, I'll be right back. She decides not to have the shot, calls Dr. Buckley, says she has faith in God. And then he says, well, Julie, now I see you're starting to fight. I love it. You got to keep fighting. And then we started to see breakthroughs. Got healed from that cancer. I had like 40 surgeries total on me, over 40 surgeries. One of the miracles was in Chattanooga, Tennessee. They found the hook. They were able to connect my left ear to the proper bone. And that was an amazing breakthrough. When I was very, very, very little, my immune system was very weak. He's healed. Jesus has healed that. He healed my hands from warts and all these other great things. The last parts of that, the immune system and that, she left out. But that to say, Dr. Barclay was there for us. And my pastor cares about me. Cares about our family. And I'm so grateful to call him my pastor. And I hope that this month you took some time to get your pastor a card. Just let your pastor know how much he means to you. Because, like I said, October is National Pastor Appreciation Month. So, I really hope that you let him know how you felt. And of course, monetary is good, but ultimately, part of how you honor your pastor is come to church when the doors are open. But ultimately, who you're honoring the most when you do that is Jesus. And we always believe that Jesus is the true pastor of the church. We fully believe that at my church, that the ultimate grand pastor of Living Word Church, in my case, is Jesus Christ. And that is important. It really is. And of course, I honor my pastor. I respect him. I esteem him very highly. And he means a lot. Not just to me, but to so many other people. Amen. Now, couple of quick programming notes. Mainly just one, and that is Wednesday night. I don't know if I'm going to be doing a show or not because I'm going to be traveling down to my brother's down there in the Louisville area in Kentucky. And so I'm going to be down there with him for a few days, me and my mom and my dad. And it's going to be good to see him. And I know we saw him a couple months ago, but at the same time, you got to see him here and there sometimes. And so we are going to do that. So Wednesday night, I more than likely won't be on the air. Maybe, hopefully, somehow, maybe I'll find a way to be able to do it. But I'm just letting you know that more than likely I won't be on the air on Monday night. I mean, Wednesday night. So, and then Tuesday night, a week from tomorrow night, even though it's election night, I will not really be talking about the election at all on Tuesday night. Part of it, and a lot of that's because once I get off the air at 8 o'clock, we'll be hearing so much about it, as will I myself. But for a little while, we'll spend some time in the Word. There might even be Christmas carols. It all depends if I'm feeling it or not. After all, it will by then be November. And so we'll just have to wait and see. But election night, it'll be a good show. And a break from politics. Because I know I'll be glued after, you know, hoping and praying for that big victory. But during showtime, though, we'll be worth it. All right. Now we're going to sing a couple of songs, and then we're going to get into the Word of the Lord tonight. You deserve the glory and honor. We lift our hands in worship and exalt your holy name. You deserve the glory and the honor. We lift our hands in worship and exalt your holy name. For you are great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. There is no one else like you, for you are great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. There is no one else like you. You deserve the glory and the honor. We lift our hands in worship and exalt your holy name. You deserve the glory and the honor. We lift our hands in worship and exalt your holy name. For you are great, you do miracles so great, there is no one else like you. There is no one else like you, for you are great, you do miracles so great, there is no one else like you. There is no one else like you, for you are great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You were the Word at the beginning, one with God the Lord Most High. Your hidden glory in creation, now revealed in you, our Christ. What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus. You wouldn't want heaven without us. So Jesus, you brought heaven down. My sin was great, your love was greater. So what could separate us now? What a wonderful name it is. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a wonderful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus. Death could not hold you. The grave tore before you, silenced the boast of sin and grave. The heavens are roaring, the praise of your glory, your silenced boast of sin and grave. You have no equal, no rival. You have no equal, now and forever, God, you reign. Yours is the kingdom, yours is the glory, yours is the name above all names. What a powerful name it is. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a powerful name it is. Nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. You have no rival. You have no equal, now and forever, God, you reign. Yours is the kingdom, yours is the glory, yours is the name above all names. What a powerful name it is. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a powerful name it is. Nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Your name is powerful, beautiful, wonderful. We just thank you, Lord Jesus, everything that you've done for us, everything you're doing in us right now, and everything you're going to do in us. And I just thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are there for us always. You're always making a way for us. Whenever there seems to be no way. And you always are there for us, fighting for us. Thank you, Lord, that you're pushing back, fighting for us, pushing back the darkness, lighting up the kingdom that cannot be shaken. And in your name, Jesus, the enemy is defeated. And we shall shout it out. Yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for this time in your word, that you would just strengthen us tonight as we study your word. And I just thank you, Lord Jesus, that your word brings life, and life more abundantly. In Jesus' matchless name. And I confess over this program that sponsors and partners come into this program, that finances come into this program, that increases in listenership come to this program. And most importantly, Jesus, I thank you that a huge amount of souls comes into the kingdom of God as a result of this great radio program. In Jesus' matchless name. Amen and amen and amen. Amen. Make your confession with me. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have, and I can do what it says I can do. Tonight, I do believe that I will receive absolutely everything that God has for me tonight. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Wave that Bible if you got it. Make the devil mad a bit. Amen. Turn with me, please, to the book of Genesis chapter 41. Praise God, Genesis chapter 41. And we're going to be dealing with Pharaoh's dreams and also Joseph being in charge of Egypt. Praise God. Genesis 41. And I want to encourage you for the next bit, whatever I do, here where I'm at, my house, you do wherever you are, as long as it's safe to do so. Amen. And I'm going to begin reading now Genesis 41, verse 1, NIV. When 2 full years had passed, Pharaoh had a dream. He was standing by the Nile when out of the river there came up 7 cows that were sleek and fat, and they prayed among the weeds. After them, 7 other cows that were ugly and gaunt, they came up out of the Nile River, and they stood beside those on the riverbank. And the cows that were ugly and Gaunt, they ate up the 7 sleek fat cows. Then Pharaoh woke up. He fell asleep again, and he had a second dream. 7 heads of grain that were healthy and good were growing on a single stalk. After them, 7 other heads of grain, they sprouted, that were thin, and they were scorched by the east wind. The thin heads of grain swallowed up the 7 healthy, full heads. Then Pharaoh woke up. It had been a dream. In the morning, his mind was troubled. So he sent for all the magicians and wise men of Egypt. And Pharaoh told them his dreams, but no one could interpret them for him. Then the chief cupbearer said to Pharaoh, "Today I am reminded of my shortcomings. Pharaoh was once angry with his servants, and he imprisoned me and the chief baker in the house of the captain and the guard. Each of us had a dream the same night, and each dream had a meaning of its own. Now, a young Hebrew was there with us, a servant of the captain of the guard. We told them our dreams, and he interpreted them for us, giving each man the interpretation of his dream. And things turned out exactly as he described them to us. I was restored by my position. The other man was hanged. So Pharaoh sent for Joseph, and he was quickly brought up from the dungeon. When he had shaved and changed his clothes, he came before Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, "I had a dream and no one can interpret it. But I've heard it said that when you hear a dream, you can interpret it." "I can't do it," Joseph replied to Pharaoh, "because God will give Pharaoh the answer that he desires." Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "In my dream, I was standing on the bank of the Nile. When out of the river, there came up 7 cows, fat and sleek, and they've grown among the weeds. After them, 7 other cows came up, and they were scrawned, and they were very ugly, and they were lean. I had never seen such ugly cows in all the land of Egypt. The lean, ugly cows ate up the 7 fat cows that came up first. But even after they ate them, no one could tell that they had done so. And they looked just as ugly as before. And then I woke up. In my dreams, I also saw 7 heads of grain, full of good, growing on a single stalk. They were full and good. And they were growing on a single stalk. After them, 7 other heads, they swelled, tempered and thin, scorched by the east wind. The thin heads of grain swallowed up the 7 good heads. And I told this to the magicians, but I never could explain it to me. Then Joseph said to Pharaoh, "The dreams of Pharaoh are one and the same. God has revealed to Pharaoh what he is about to do. The seven good cows are 7 years, and the seven good heads of grain are 7 years. It is one of the same dreams. The seven lean, ugly cows that came up afterward are 7 years. And so are the seven worthless heads of grain scorched by the east wind. They are 7 years of famine. It is just as I said to Pharaoh. God has shown to Pharaoh what he is about to do. 7 years of great abundance are coming throughout the land of Egypt, but 7 years of famine will follow them. Then all the abundance in Egypt will be forgotten, and the famine will ravage the land. The abundance in the land will not be remembered because the famine that follows it will be so severe. The reason the dream was given to Pharaoh in two forms is that the matter has been firmly decided by God, and God will do it soon. And now let Pharaoh look for a discerning and wise man and put him in charge of the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh appoint commissioners over the land to take a fifth of the harvest of Egypt during the 7 years of abundance. They should collect all the food of their good years that are coming and store up the grain under the authority of Pharaoh, to be kept in the cities for food. This food should be held in reserve for the country to be used during the 7 years of famine that will come upon Egypt, so that the country may not be ruined by the famine." The plan seemed good to Pharaoh and to all his officials. So Pharaoh asked them, "Can we find anyone like this man? One in whom there is the Spirit of God?" Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Since God has made all this known to you, there is no one so discerning and wise as you. You shall be in charge of my palace, and all my people are to submit to your orders. Only that respect by the throne will I be greater than you." Verse 41. So Pharaoh said to Joseph, "I hereby put you in charge of the whole land of Egypt." Then Pharaoh took his signet ring from his finger and put it on Joseph's finger. He dressed him in robes of fine linen and put a gold chain around his neck. He had him ride in a chariot, as was second in command, and men shouted before him, "Make way!" Thus he put him in charge of the whole land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "I am Pharaoh, but without your word, no one will lift a hand or a foot in all Egypt. And Pharaoh gave Joseph the name Zaphnath and gave him Asenath, daughter of Phanata, priest of Aunt, to be his wife. And Joseph went throughout the land of Egypt. And Joseph was 30 years old when he entered the service of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. And Joseph sent out from Pharaoh's presence and traveled throughout Egypt. During the 7 years of abundance, the land produced plentifully. And Joseph collected all the food that was produced in those 7 years of abundance in Egypt, and he stored it in the cities. In each city, he put the food grown in the fields surrounding it. Joseph stored up huge quantities of grain like the sand of the sea. And it was so much that he stopped keeping records because it was beyond measure. Before the years of famine came, 2 tons, 2 sons were born to Joseph by Asenath, daughter of Potiphar, the priest of On. And Joseph named his firstborn Manasseh, and he said, "It is because God has made me forget all my trouble and all my father's household." The second son he named Ephraim and said, "It is because God has made me fruitful in the land of my suffering." The 7 years of abundance in Egypt came to an end, and the 7 years of famine began, just as Joseph had said. There was famine in all the other lands, but in the whole land of Egypt, there was food. When all Egypt began to fail, to feel the famine, the people cried to Pharaoh for food. And Pharaoh told all the Egyptians, "Go to Joseph and do what he tells you." When the famine had spread over the whole country, Joseph opened the storehouses and sold grain to the Egyptians. And the famine was severe throughout Egypt, and all the countries came to Egypt to buy grain from Joseph because the famine was severe in all the world. You see here, so here's what I want to get at first. So Pharaoh has a dream. He has these dreams. First, the dream with the first, he had the dream where there was the cows. There was the ugly cows, and then there was the nice fat cows. The ugly cows eat up the fat cows and don't even get bigger. Same thing happened with the grain. There was the good grain, and then there was the bad grain. And then Pharaoh, can anyone interpret these dreams? He's like, "I can't do it. I can't interpret them." Joseph tells him, well, first he's like, he's not sure if he can. And so then he tries. And then God's showing him while he's doing it. And he's saying, you know, here's what it means. And he basically explains that there'll be 7 years of plenty. In Egypt, and there will also be 7 years of famine. So there'll be 7 years of plenty. There'll be 7 years of plenty, and also 7 years of, but then after that, there'll be 7 years of famine. During the, Joseph basically says, in the 7 years of plenty, people need to give up, you know, 20% of the food, and also the excess that is produced, stored up in the cities. And then what ends up happening is, so, and then during part of the 7 years of plenty, Joseph gets married and he has two children. And when the famine time comes, the Egyptians are finishing up everything from what they had during the plentiful times. And they tell Pharaoh everything, and then Pharaoh tells the people, go to Joseph, do what he tells you. And then the cities of Egypt, there was so much food stored up that it was unreal. So much food that records couldn't be kept. And people had ended up having enough food throughout that whole thing. You know what, listeners? God is a provider. God is our provider. And what you see here is, you know, at first, things are going great, like what the economy was early in the year, setting records, winning, 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 winning. You know, GDP's super high. You know, great economic times. But then, and even food-wise in that, and then the famine hits. Then people go to Egypt for food, and Joseph had. And they go and buy it from Joseph. It's kind of like in the times of need. Now, when times are really good, listeners, we might just think, it could be so easy for us to think, oh, we're being blessed. It could almost be like you take God for granted almost in a way. You know, I'm so blessed. You know, and maybe you have a nice car in that case. And maybe you're giving these huge amounts of offering. And your tithes have never been greater. They've never been bigger. But it could be easy to take it for granted. But then, you know, when things happen and that, we all crying out to God for help, but then he hears you, and then you never take him for granted again, I would hope. Now, through all this, after Joseph tells Pharaoh about his dreams, he interprets the dreams. Yeah, Joseph interprets the dreams. Pharaoh says, is there someone like Joseph that I can put in charge? And then he probably goes and looks and says, I can't find anyone else like him. And so, at the age of 30, he puts Joseph in charge of Egypt. This 30-year-old man. Keep in mind that in much of Genesis, these people were living up to 700, 800, 900 years. So in those days, 30 was, he put him in charge. And people came to him for food. And you see, Joseph had discernment. And he was able to interpret. And this was also a man that had great favor. He had great favor with God. Because he had been in a dungeon for some things that he had done. You know, wrongfully thrown in prison. And then Pharaoh basically says, go get him out of the dungeon. And then he goes from being a prisoner to being in charge of the country of Egypt. And he basically becomes like the governor, what they called the governor. I don't know why they called it the governor when it was over a whole country and not just a sovereign state or territory like what we have here in the U.S. You know, the states and territories, and we have our governors and all that, but he basically becomes like the leader of Egypt. And all those people when they cry to Pharaoh, he tells them what to do. And mind you, Pharaoh was not usually a good guy. Pharaoh later becomes the guy who refuses to let the Israelites go from Egypt. He refuses to let them go and worship the Lord. He even lies and says, yeah, I'll let them go. Oh, yeah, I'll let them go. I'll let them go worship God. And then changes his mind and decides to lie. And says, yep, yep. You won't be going to worship God. I don't know Jehovah. I won't let him go. And of course, this is later on, you know, after Moses, we don't know with Moses and that, but in Genesis, Pharaoh asks for help. Somehow, through the course of time, he lost track. And then they basically called Joseph, you know, the dream interpreter. Because he interpreted the dreams. And everybody has dreams, of course. A lot of times they don't necessarily remember them. Some people just have wilder dreams than others. There's been times in my dreams where I've been able to see myself seeing which is awesome. Who knows? Maybe. One of these days I'll have a dream of it and then it'll become reality. It's possible. Sometimes I've had dreams that came to be reality. Have you ever had a dream that turned out sometime later after you had the dream that became reality? Maybe it was months later, or maybe it was dreams later. Did you ever have a dream that later became reality, Megan? I know I have had a couple of, I think, ones that are actually kind of cool. So one time, years ago, back early on next decade, 2012, in the winter of 2011-2012, it wasn't even a super harsh winter, but I had a dream about carnival rides, being in the local mall parking lot. And I had a dream, they were sitting out there, people were riding them, people were, out there having a nice time. It wasn't necessarily jam-packed, but there was people out there, and they were going on the rides. And 2 months later, in the mall parking lot, near a JCPenney store, which is now closed, a Dunham's, which is still open, by the way, and had opened less than a year prior, and at the time, Elder Beerman, then a Yonkers, now closed. There was a decent amount of carnival rides out there. And sure enough, there were people riding them. Now, I wished it had been a bit warmer outside, but sadly, it wasn't. Prior to that, I had a dream in which my high school football team had made it to the state finals. I had had this dream summer of 2006. Going into football season of 2006, and 9 months had passed since we had lost a playoff game on the road to Bay City Western after starting the regular season 6-0. We had lost 2 in a row, almost lost to Dow, which would have made us 6-3 still in the playoffs. But we beat Dow regular season, then we beat Dow in the playoffs. But then we ended up losing. So going into the football season of 06, I had this dream in which Midland had made it all the way to the state finals. And then I said to myself, I really hope that I get to see this while I'm a student at Midland High. Thinking at the time, could be the season of 06, maybe football season of 07, maybe 08, or maybe even 2009. But in 2000, I'm at a football game. Midland's up 21-0. Second round of the playoffs. sadly, we end up. But I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, Midland's doing well. We're up 21-0. Third quarter just started. And we had started the regular season in the first six games that year. We had started 3-3. And so I was, you know, praying, hoping, I'll ultimately, please let us get back on track and do better. And things just went really great for us. Three shutouts in a row, including a big one over Dow. And then a week after that, another big, nice playoff win. But then we had things happen in the second half. The other team, Bay City Central, stormed back, beat us 22-21. So I'm thinking, okay, maybe not this year. Next year, lose the first game, win six in a row. Then we lose week eight, the one right before Dow. So I'm thinking, okay, well, we are 6-2. Dow's not doing so good. We beat Dow nicely. Next week we have a bit of a struggle for a while. But third and fourth quarter, we're sitting there and I'm in the stands and we end up getting a nice win. Next week we go to Bay City. Big win. Week three of the playoffs, there was a thing my parents wanted me to go to with them down in the Detroit area. So I didn't go to that game, but I'm like, Lord, please let the Comics win. And then Saturday morning I get up to find out, you know, what did Midland do? Sure enough, they had won 7-3. They'd beat Davison for a regional championship for the first time since 94. Next state semifinals. I'm charged up. I'm hoping. Feeling good. And at the time, I was saying when Midland gets to go to Ford Field. I didn't say if. I said when. And then first half, we're down 28-7 at the whistle. Second half, we outscore Lowell 24-0. And Midland wins it 31-28. And we even had to stop Lowell in the closing seconds to win the ball game. Sure enough, Midland was going to Ford Field. I had had a dream. Back in, like, 2005. When I was to begin my freshman year. That Midland at some point, while I was there, would be in the playoffs, would make it all the way to Ford Field. So I go to Ford Field the day after Thanksgiving 2007. Being the Black Friday fan that I was, wasn't worried about, you know, what are them all doing, all that other stuff. How's the shoppers doing? Nope. Football time, baby. And so, me and a few people, we go to the Ford Field. At one point, we're up 21-7. But then Detroit comes back, storms back, wins the ball game 47-21. Detroit, Martin Luther King. But sure enough, I had a dream that we during my lifetime. I mean, during my studenthood at Mullen High, that we would see the state finals. And I almost wonder if God gave it to me. I think it's possible. But did you ever have a dream of some kind, like years in advance or something, and then the thing actually ended up happening, Megan? Or no? Now, the carnival one was only a couple months prior. The Midland one was 2 years out before, and then again, a recurring one in 2006, August of 06. And so, God gives you a dream. Then that's so cool. God can give you a dream. Now, God's also shown me visions. No, how do I put it? No. I need to be careful how I say this. God has shown me, like, the colors of heaven before. And also, he kind of showed me, he showed me what heaven would sound like. And I heard sounds. At the time, I was an 8-year-old, 9-year-old kid. And I heard sounds of kids that were about my age, my brother's age, up there. And it was just fun. That told me I felt like that many friends would be up there. I think that's what that one meant. So maybe if I go to heaven like at the age of 90 or 100 or something, maybe it'll be a bunch of 100-year-old voices. But I think in heaven we'll look a lot younger than that, than what we do here, you know, if we're super old, you know. But, so, not to say the dreams were cool. And with, of course, not all dreams turn out the way you think, of course, but Joseph and Pharaoh had those dreams. He had those dreams. And then Joseph interpreted them. And then that was what happened. Two cases I told you about. With the fair and with Mullen High, the fair one wasn't even one I've ever prayed about. And the Midland High one, before I even started going to school there, that one was just a hope. I hadn't prayed to God about it yet by any means. I was just hoping that it'd be a fun first season. You know, good games and that, and it's just awesome. Thank you, Jesus. Lord Jesus, I thank you for this word tonight. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, that we can trust in you no matter how times are looking, whether we're in a time of plenty when we're in a time of trouble. I thank you that you're always there for us, that when we are in times of trouble, we can trust you. And even when times are good and we have plenty and we have more than enough, that you can help us and show us who to give the abundance to. And I just thank you, Lord God, for this great word tonight. In Jesus' name. Amen. So, for sports, Big Ten college football is back. You have the Bucks with a big win over Nebraska. You had Michigan with a nice win over Minnesota, 34-10. And people were thinking that there was a chance that Michigan would fall to Minnesota. I wasn't buying it. And I was glad Michigan beat them. And that was a good way to start off the season for Michigan. Michigan's next game will be against Sparty Fell, 27-10 to Rutgers, who is usually seen as a lowly team, the Big Ten, Rutgers. But Michigan State fell to them. High school Friday night, Midland, a big resounding win over Dow. Thundering win, 32-6. I was thinking it'd be like 34-12 or something, but it was 32-6. Midland did finish the regular season 6-0. They only threw the ball twice, Midland did. Dow threw the ball more than Midland, but two of them were interceptions. And one was a fumble recovered by Midland and turned back in the end zone for a Midland touchdown. Dow romped on Midland 2019. This year, Midland romped on Dow. Midland will now host Alpena on Friday night. And Dow will host Alpena on Saturday. So who will we host for round two, assuming we, us and Dow both win, possibly Dow? Yeah, it would be no. Eight teams in the district. I'd have to do that math and let you know tomorrow. Way to go, Midland. Finishing 6-0. With the loss, Dow, after starting 4-0, finishes with a 4-2 record on the regular season. Lions with a nice 33-26 win over the Falcons. 27-26 win. So they only won by 1 point. With a couple minutes, with basically a minute to go in the game, Falcons had the ball, and some kind of mistake, their running back somehow just cleared something in, snuck in to the end zone from what they thought would be a game-winning touchdown. Lions march back down the field, and they score a touchdown to tie it. But first, there's some kind of miscues, so time is running down. And then there's a penalty against Atlanta, so that gives the Lions a chance to get one more shot at the end zone. 8 seconds left, basically. Stafford's stats, look, throws, caught, touchdown! But then, oh, a penalty. So they have to try for a 40-some-yard extra point. It works. They got it. Second game in a row they won. They're now 3-3. New England, on the other hand, they not doing so good since they traded away Tom Brady. Don't know why they did that, but they did it. And Patriots, it's another big loss this time to the 49ers. And then you had the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, which, by the way, Tampa Bay right now is on fire when it comes to sports, because the Lightning won the Stanley Cup. The Rays are doing well in the World Series against the Dodgers. And now you have, to add to that, you now have the Buccaneers doing a great job in Tampa Bay with Tom Brady. Great job. They get another nice win over the Vegas Raiders. And they're doing a good job. In Tampa Bay, it's good to see right now how they're doing in terms of sports. It really is. So, of the six games I picked, I was correct on five. I've actually been doing very good on these this year. Very good. Now, this is the first time that I had college also to pick. But 5 of 6 is still over 80%. In my book, I would say when there's less than 10 and you get all but one right, I would say that's an A, maybe B plus. 2 of 6, that's an automatic, like, C. 3, then 4, then if you get 3 wrong, then 4 wrong, 5 wrong. But I'll have to see how I'm doing. But I'm doing pretty good on these picks this year, really good. All right. Want to remind you real quick that Wednesday night, I more than likely won't be on the air because of travel. Also, I want to encourage you to check out a book about me at riversofmiracles.com. You can go online there and check out the book. Sorry about that, folks. All right, folks. Until tomorrow night. God first, God always. So long, everybody, and I will see you all next time.